This morning at Emmanuel, we're thinking about freedom from fear. And the passage that we're going to look at is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And I'm going to read this for us. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Well, there can be many things of which we're afraid. For many, for most of the things that we might be afraid about, we feel that there is a lack of control. If only we controlled everything, if only we controlled the future, if only we could control everything about our health or about our families, about our children, then maybe we wouldn't fear. So many of the things that we fear would be dealt with if only we had more control. Sometimes in our lives, it can really feel like things are out of control. It can feel like it did on the platform at Waterloo Station a few Thursdays ago, when the storms had meant that all the signals were down. There were so many passengers on the platform, all looking to try to get onto a train, that sometimes it just felt like you were being swept along with the crowd, that you couldn't go a different direction even if you wanted to. And that can feel scary. It can feel like that for us in our lives. It can feel sometimes like we're being swept along a river, just holding on to a bit of driftwood. Well, added to that feeling of lack of control is the fact that we do also know that there are bad things out there. There are big beasts out there that want to get us. We know that there is bad health. We know there is cancer. We know that there is unemployment, family breakdown, divorce. We know that there are those things out there because we know people who've been got by them. And so if you add those two things together, the fact that we feel like we're out of control at times and we know that there are bad things out there, it's a recipe for fears. And especially when we know that one big beast that's out there, death, we know will get us in the end. Well, I hope I haven't just added to a whole load of fears that you maybe already had. What do psychologists tell us to do with these fears? I looked up a Psychology Today article, and it said that what you should do with your fears is know the things that you can control and control them, and let go of the things that you can't control. Control the things you can, give yourself a feeling of control, but also recognize there are some things that you just cannot control, and let them go. And the bottom line, it said, was with those things that you can't control is courage. Just be brave. Well, the Bible's answer to our fears is so much more helpful. The Bible doesn't just point us to a psychological technique. The Bible points us to a person, points us to Jesus. And we're going to think about two things about Jesus, the first of which comes straight from this passage, this miracle that I just read for us. And it is this: Jesus is complete control. That's our first point. Jesus is complete control. Let's just go back in the story. We have in the boats Jesus' followers, and a huge storm hits the boats on the sea. They are literally being swept along by the storm, and the crowd are terrified. And remember that these disciples, some of them are hardened fishermen. They know what to do in boats, and yet they are terrified. They feel they're being swept to their deaths. Yet there is one person in the boat who is not afraid. In fact, so unafraid is he, so unconcerned is he, that he is asleep. It's wonderful to see the contrast. Notice verses 37 and 38. Verse 37, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Now, when I think of something sleeping on a cushion, I think of a cat sleeping on a cushion, just with no cares in the world. Well, that's what it seems to be Jesus was doing. You've got the furious squall outside the boat, this enormous storm, everyone terrified, and yet in the boat, Jesus just asleep. Well, the disciples are terrified and they wake him up. They say to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? We're out of control," they're saying. "We're heading to our deaths. Jesus, don't you care?" But Jesus just gets up, rebukes the wind and the waves, tells them to be quiet and be still. And instantly the wind dies and the waves stop. And it says literally, there was a great calm. I wonder if you've ever been near a lake when it's so still and calm, it's like a mirror. Well, that's what it was like here. They went from a whirlwind to a mirror in a moment. Now that is control. And that's why he was so completely calm in the boat, because he was in complete control. And we see it throughout Jesus' life. Those big beasts that we're so scared of, Jesus shows he is in complete control over them, over sickness, over death. He shows absolute control. And it's helpful for us to know that in ancient cultures, the sea represented the ultimate in uncontrollable forces, in unpredictable and powerful things that could come and get you. And here he is, dealing with it like a naughty schoolboy, just telling it to be quiet. This also reveals to us who he is, because in the Old Testament, there's only one person who can wield the storm, who could send a storm or calm it at their bidding. We're told in the Old Testament that the only one who can do that is God. And that's who Jesus is demonstrating he is. He is God himself, in control of all the terrifying beasts that we find so frightening. So we need to ask the question, why are the disciples afraid after Jesus stilled the storm? In the story, there are three things in the original which we're told are great. The storm is great. The calm is great. But verse 41, the fear is great. The fear of the disciples after Jesus has calmed the storm. But why? Why are they terrified? Why aren't they leaping around with excitement that Jesus has saved them? Well, they've seen Jesus' control, but in and of itself, control just can lead to fear. We know from history that people who have exerted extreme control over people and huge power are frightening. And maybe here, these disciples, they were seeing someone who had a supernatural control, and that I think even we would have found terrifying. So what they needed to understand was our second point. Our first point was Jesus's complete control. Our second point is Jesus's incredible love. His incredible love. And for this, I want to take you forward in Jesus's ministry to a time a few years later when we're not at the sea anymore, but we're in a garden. And this time, the disciples are asleep, but Jesus is afraid. Jesus is so afraid, so frightened, that he is sweating blood. And medics tell us that sweating blood is a sign of extreme stress. So why? Why is Jesus so frightened? Why is he so stressed? After all, if he's the one in complete control of all things, surely he doesn't need to be frightened of anything. Well, he's stressed because he knows that the next day he's going to die. None of his followers have really taken this on board, but he knows the next day he's going to be arrested, tried, tortured, and executed. He knows the big beast of death is going to swallow him up. Ah, now we might say, well, surely that shows that Jesus isn't really in complete control. But when you read the account of Jesus's death in any of the Gospels, the last thing you can say is that Jesus is out of control. In fact, you can see Jesus is more in control. You see more evidence of it when he is going through his arrest and trial and death than almost any other point. You just see him in complete control, which must mean that Jesus is choosing to go through this. He's choosing to do it. Why? Because he loves us. He's choosing to go through it as a demonstration of his great love for us. Jesus himself says, greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus is saying that is what he was going to do. But how does that help us? How does Jesus dying on the cross help us? Well, you see, there is one fear that the Bible says that we should all have. If I asked you to write down your fears, it's probably not a fear that you would write down. But the Bible says actually this is the fear that we should all have, that should trump all other fears. What is that fear? It's the fear of God. Not because God is nasty or mean, but because God is perfectly good. And we are not. And if we were to come into the presence of God, we would rightly be obliterated by him. The darkness in each of our hearts means that we should be destroyed by the perfect light of God. And we see this darkness in our own hearts. We see it more easily in other people. It hasn't taken much for us as a country to see more and more examples of darkness in people. Over the last few weeks, since the EU referendum results, there have been more and more reports of racist abuse, which has been staggering and horrifying. And yet, can any one of us really say that all our conversations about that referendum and the results, however we voted, that all our conversations have been completely pure and good? No, the darkness is inside us as well. And we're told when Jesus died on the cross, he was taking all our darkness onto himself, our selfishness, our anger, our greed, all taken by Jesus. So that when he died on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that garden, before he was arrested, what he asked God to take away was the cup. Now, the cup is an Old Testament symbol for God's anger. He knew that when he was going to die, it wasn't actually the death that was going to be the most frightening thing. It was going to be taking God's anger. That's what frightened him the most. And yet he willingly took that for us. And that is extreme love. Often people will express their love for someone in terms of the sacrifices they would be prepared to make. Bruno Mars in his song says, I'd catch a grenade for you. I'd throw my hand on a blade for you. I'd jump in front of a train for you. You know, I'd do anything for you. Oh, I would go through all this pain, take a bullet straight through my brain. Yes, I would die for you, baby. Meatloaf says he'd do anything for love, but he won't do that. Except we're not sure what that is. Well, Jesus doesn't just say what he would do. Rather, he says what he will do. And we can look back on it and we can see that what he was prepared to do for us was take God's anger for us when he died on the cross. His love for us is unparalleled. Okay, so how does that lead to freedom from fear? We've got two important things about Jesus. Jesus is complete control and Jesus is incredible love. Now, here's how it defeats fear. You see, the Bible promises us if we come to Jesus, if we come to him, then he is with us. Meaning not just present with us, but that he is for us. We can become adopted into his family. And if Jesus is with us, that doesn't give us control over everything, but it means we know the one who is in control and we know that he loves us in the extreme. Our lives are in his hands and the Christian can walk through this life knowing Jesus is in complete control and that he loves us. And so the twists and turns of this life, which do still happen, are all in his hands and will work out somehow for our good. And even the great beast of death is defeated by Jesus and becomes a way into a glorious life beyond this life. Psalm 23 puts it like this: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Do you see what that's saying? It's saying even the greatest of fears can be dealt with by having Jesus with us. His presence with us deals with the fears. Now, as a Christian, it may well be that you still say, "But I've still got loads of fears." And of course we do have fears, but we do know, don't we, that actually they're illogical. We shouldn't really have them. And the way to deal with them is not to look in on ourselves and to get frustrated with ourselves at our fears, but rather to look again to Jesus and to know his control and his love and to give our fears to him. And if you're not a Christian today, you do need to come to Jesus. This isn't just saying, "Oh, smile, Jesus loves you." Because we do need our sin to be taken from us. We do need to be adopted into his family. Anyone can do it. You don't need to be good enough or clever enough. You can come to Jesus today. Ask him for his forgiveness. Ask him to be made into God's family, to be brought into God's family. But we don't come on our own terms. We come on his terms. The call to become a Christian is a call to give your whole life to Jesus. Jesus even says at one point, anyone who would follow me must take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That is a call to die. It is a call to give everything to Jesus. And that is a big call. But don't forget that Jesus, in his love for us, has done even more for us, has given even more for us. If you want to find out more, and I would think if you're not a Christian, you would want to, and I would encourage you to do so, then do grab one of the little booklets that we've got at the back of church that explain a bit more about the Christian faith. And do come on Christianity Explored, where we'd love to start one in the autumn term, a course which explains what Christianity is all about. Do have a word with me if you'd like to come on that course. How do we have freedom from fear? The answer is not found in a psychological technique. It is found in a person, in coming to Jesus, who is in complete control and who has incredible love. The answer for freedom from fear is to come to Jesus.